What we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks is something that you probably have learned about or heard about if you grew up in church at all, and it's this idea of the full armor of God. And that what the Apostle Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 6 is that we are in a spiritual battle, that we are in a fight against not the people that we see and not just the things that are visible, but there is an unseen world that we're in a fight against. And you can go back 2 weeks and you can learn more about that. But in Ephesians chapter 6, what the Apostle Paul is essentially saying is that in order to win the battle, you and I have to be dressed appropriately. And so last week we talked about we've got to put on the belt of truth, that if I don't have truth, that I can be shifted and I can be swayed depending on what's going on in the world, between what I feel in the moment, I can get totally knocked off track. And so I have to be anchored, and this is who God is. This is what he says. Today, we're going to look at that second piece. It's the breastplate of righteousness. And a breastplate, if you're kind of think about war imagery and think about, you know, as people are going into the battle, you can see that metal piece of armor. It protects your heart. It protects your vital organs, because they understood, man, if there was a battle and it's hand-to-hand combat, if they thrust a sword, if it hits my heart, it's over. It's totally finished. And so I need to protect myself. And the Apostle Paul is saying that as you go through this spiritual battle, it's not this long distance thing. It's hand-to-hand combat, and you've got to protect your heart. You've got to protect the vital organs in your life, or else you will lose the battle. And in order to do that, you have the breastplate of righteousness. And when you think of this word righteousness, if I was to ask 10 people what this word meant to you, you might have 10 different answers. For some people, when we think of righteousness, maybe we think of, well, I'm a rule follower. I don't drink, I don't swear, I don't hang out with people that do those things. I follow those Christian rules and then I'll be righteous. Or I go to church and I try to live the right way, I try to do the right things, and because of my behavior, I am righteous. The tension that we experience, though, is that on days that I'm doing well, that can lead to pride. That, well, I'm doing a great job and I'm doing the right things and I'm holding my temper in and I'm treating people right and I've been to church 3 out of the last 4 weeks and I'm doing better than they are. I'm doing a pretty good job being righteous. And then there's other seasons of our life where I recognize, well, I lost my temper and I said those things and I fell back into that habit and I know that I shouldn't have, and it can lead to despair. I can never reach the standard. I know how quickly and how easily I fall short. And so what biblical righteousness is something completely different. Biblical righteousness is that right standing with God, that when God looks at me, he sees me as a person who is in right standing with him. And when the Bible talks about righteousness, it talks about two different things. I'm going to give you a little theology lesson for just a second. And today, let me just preface everything we're going to talk about this morning. There's a tension here this morning, and there's some mystery this morning. And it's easy to go to one side and forget the other, and it's easy to go to this side and forget the other. And so I just want you to try to just hold that tension in your hands between these two types of righteousness. We're not trying to solve anything. We're just, as followers of Jesus, I just embrace this tension. I embrace the tension between imputed righteousness. Later on, when you're talking with your friends and doing Bible trivia, you can tell them what imputed righteousness means. Imputed righteousness is the righteousness that you need in order to stand before God, because we know that we are sinful and God is holy, and holiness can't have anything to do with sinfulness. We have been forgiven because of Jesus, imputed righteousness. And this is the righteousness that doesn't have anything to do with me, that it is a gift of God to me because of what Jesus has done, that Jesus accomplished everything on my behalf on the cross. He lived a sinless life, which I can't do. He died a sinner's death, which I would have to do. But the judgment of God and the justice of God was laid on Jesus for my benefit. And then when I come to Jesus, his righteousness covers me. That is imputed righteousness. It is a gift. I can't earn it. I can't trend my way in that direction. I am received as righteous because of Jesus. Then on the other side, and here's the tension, there's the practical righteousness. Practical righteousness is that righteousness that I live out. practical righteousness is the righteousness that I say, I know that I shouldn't move in that direction. I know that this isn't what God wants for me. And I'm not doing this so that God loves me or so that I can have right standing with God. My standing with God was solved once and for all because of imputed righteousness. But because of imputed righteousness, then I move towards that practical righteousness. And there is that tension that it's my development and my growth. And as I become more and more like Jesus, that practical righteousness starts to find itself inside of me. And so the Apostle Paul says, when it comes to the breastplate of righteousness, you need both. You need the imputed righteousness from God through Christ to have right standing with him because you're in a battle. And the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he'll accuse you and he'll say, you're never going to match up and you'll never be enough and you'll never kick it and you'll never be able to be. And if I just rely on my practical righteousness, well, he's right because I can't. I can't win. But if it's just practical righteousness and not imputed, and if it's just imputed and not practical, then I'll just do whatever I want and I'll just live however I want. It's both and. And so the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, stand firm then. You're in this battle. You're going through this thing. The belt of truth, that's what we talked about last week, with that breastplate of righteousness in place. This is imputed and it's practical. It's reliable because it's from Christ. And it's practical day in and day out as I put it on every day. I am righteous because of Jesus. I pursue righteousness because of Jesus. There's that tension there. And what we see in Philippians chapter 3 is this beautiful description of that. And my hope is, and I'm nervous, just to be honest with you, I'm nervous that I'm not going to be able to explain it very well, because it is. It's confusing, and we can get to one side or the other. But my prayer is that the Spirit can kind of open up our hearts and help us to understand, what does it look like to live knowing that I'm righteous because of Jesus, and live righteously because of Jesus? How can I hold both of those at the same time? But what we have to understand before we move any further is we have to understand that I cannot achieve my own righteousness. That if righteousness is right standing with God, it doesn't matter how many church services I go to, it doesn't matter how many ladies I help across the street, it doesn't matter how much money I give away, I cannot achieve my own righteousness. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Here's Philippians chapter 3. If you're not familiar with the scripture, the Apostle Paul was an extraordinary, extraordinary Jewish follower that then converted to faith in Jesus. He had this extraordinary encounter with Christ and made his life's mission, I want to share with as many people as possible what Christ has done on my behalf. Philippians, just like Ephesians, is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church. It's one of his prison epistles. He's in jail. He's chained to a Roman guard. And he's trying to teach this little church in Philippi, here's what it looks like to live for Jesus. And so in Philippians chapter 3, he tries to help us understand this tension. And this is where he starts. We put no confidence in human effort. Human effort is practical righteousness. So he's saying that's not doing you any favors. If that's the leg that you stand on, that's not a leg that's going to be able to hold you up. We put no effort, or no confidence rather, in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in those efforts, I have even more. What the Apostle Paul is saying is I'm better than you are. Like if you want to go toe-to-toe, I win the battle every time. And he's going to say seven things that proves to everybody that's reading this, if we had a righteousness battle, I win. He says it this way. Verse number 5. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure blood citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought, this is the part, I once thought that these things were valuable. I made it my life's mission to be everything that God wanted me to be. I obeyed all the laws. I did all the things. If you were to look at my life, I lived my life righteously. I did all the things that I was supposed to do. And when Paul looks at that and he looks at his pedigree, here's what he says. Now I consider all these things that I did worthless. It's not a breastplate of righteousness that is going to be able to withstand the battle. I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Paul is looking at himself and he's looking at Christ and he's saying, well, as good as I am, there's no comparison. All the right things that I've done in light of who Jesus is, there's still no comparison. Here is a man who had lived his entire life from 8 days old to when he wrote this, to living righteously, doing all the right things in all the right ways with all the right intentions. And he says, my righteousness compared to the righteousness of God, it's worthless. He's going to say in the next verse, it's garbage. Yes, everything, all these things that I did is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus, my Lord. Now, we sometimes get into that thing where we say, well, my righteousness is worth something compared to somebody else. I'm not as bad as, well, at least I'm not like, well, I'm doing better than this person. And you're probably exactly right. And the Apostle Paul was right, that if the Apostle Paul was to stand next to me, I mean, he wins 10 times out of 10. But he says, that's not our standard. My standard is not the people out there. My standard is Jesus. And when I compare my righteousness to the righteousness of Jesus, it's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. For his sake, I've discarded everything else. I've counted, listen to this, how strong this word is. I consider it as garbage. What the Apostle Paul is saying, that self-righteousness, the righteousness that I can attain on my own, it's not just inadequate, it's insulting. That if I was to come present my righteousness to God and say, God, look at how good of a job I've done, it's like trying to pay off a $1 trillion debt with a dollar bill. It's not just inadequate, it's insulting. Have you ever had a young kid make you a special treat and they were so excited about it and they just thought they had really done something and they come up with so much excitement and so much energy and say, Mom, Dad, I made you a snack. And it's like tuna fish with Cinnamon Toast Crunch and there's some chocolate syrup in there and some sprinkles and you know, you got some like raw carrots cut up and they offer that to you and they are so proud. And you look at it like, ooh, thank you so much. This is wonderful. That's what it looks like when I take all of the things that I do and say, God, aren't you proud? Didn't I do such a good job? Do you see how I was at church? Did you see how I wrote some money and gave it away? Did you see how I bought some presents for kids? All of these good things I get. God, I look at my righteousness. And Paul says, it's garbage. It's not just insulting, it's inadequate because practical righteousness never moves us closer to God. My practical righteousness can never get me to where God wants me to be. And so if I spend my whole life trusting in my breastplate of righteousness is my behavior, I'm always going to fall short. Because again, what is the spiritual enemy, the devil? Revelation says, well, he's the accuser of the brethren, that he looks at your life and says, you failed. You didn't measure up. You got caught back in that habit. That how could God love you? I mean, you did good for a while, but now you're back in it. And if my righteousness is my righteousness, then he's right. He's not lying. I did fail. I don't measure up. I can't stay consistent. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying, and why it's so important for us to understand this theology, is that if your breastplate of righteousness is self-righteousness, you won't be able to survive the battle. That if it's true that there is a battle, if it's true that there's a spiritual battle and you're in it, that if your strength is in your own righteousness, it's going to fail. It's like going into a battle with a cardboard shield. It just will not withstand the heat of the battle, because here's what's true for all of us. We miss the mark. You're doing your best and your best isn't good enough. I'm doing my best and my best isn't good enough. And that can be, if Paul just stopped there, well, that would be pretty discouraging, because I know me and I know that I do the best that I can, and I really have this idea of doing well, but I know inside of me there's some selfishness. And I know inside of me there's pride. And when I look at that compared to the glory of God, what do I bring to God? My practical righteousness can't do it. And so here's the question that you have to wrestle with. Nobody can answer this for you. You have to wrestle with the question is, what do you point to as your righteousness? Because everybody points to something. That do you point to your righteousness as I'm a church attender, and I attend church as often as I can? Well, that's a good thing. My righteousness was, well, I'm faithful to my spouse. I try to be a good parent. When you know, we do the shoe boxes for kids, I pack one. And when there's you know, gifts that kids need that are needy, I buy some. I do all of these good things. And some of those, in fact, are commanded by God to do. You should do those. We're not saying, oh, don't worry about that. You should do those things. Often those are, you need to do those things. But that's not my standing. That's not what righteousness is, because when I look at all those things and I compare them to the perfect holiness of God, like Paul, we have to be honest and say, well, it's garbage. And so I cannot achieve righteousness on my own, but thanks to God's gift, I can receive Christ's righteousness. That's what the Apostle Paul is going to say. That practical righteousness is important. And we're going to talk about it. Practical righteousness, the living a certain way, that should be a focus of our life. But if you don't have the imputed righteousness, all of the practical righteousness is worthless without the imputed. He starts this in verse number 8. He says this: everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage. Why? So that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, here's imputed, I become righteous through faith in Christ. So Paul is talking about, another word for it is alien righteousness. And alien righteousness means it's not a thing that is produced or maintained by me. It's given to me as an extraordinary exchange. That's what theologians call imputed righteousness, is this great exchange that I come to the cross of Christ, I give him my sin, I give him the best that I have, knowing that it's not enough, and he in return gives me his righteousness that I trust in, not just Jesus's death, I trust in that he lived a perfect, holy, sinless life. He was righteous. And when he died on the cross, his righteousness was placed on me. It's not produced by me. It's not maintained by me. It is given to me because of what Jesus. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians this way, that God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, lived righteously, never had a wrong thought, never lost his temper, never did the wrong thing at any moment of his life, who had no sin, to be sin for us, because God is just. And there has to be a punishment for sin. And so God is not just all mercy. Well, it's fine. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. No, God is just. But his justice was placed on the shoulders of the righteous Son of God. He took on my punishment so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The theology that Christians believe is that Christ became sin for me, and Christ clothed me with his righteousness, imputed righteousness, so that when God looks at you, he doesn't just see you. He sees the perfect righteousness of Christ. And so that when the accuser of the brethren attacks, you're not enough, you didn't do it, you didn't measure up, you said you would and you didn't, you can say, you're right, but I'm covered in Jesus. You're right, I didn't, but Jesus did. You're right, I failed, but Jesus didn't, and I am covered with Jesus and his sinlessness and his righteousness, and my standing with God is not based on my practical righteousness, it's based on Christ's righteousness, and I am covered by it. And so my identity is not based on how I feel. My identity is not based on how good of a job I did last week. My identity is not based on my pedigree. My identity is based on, I am a sinner that has been given the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That my identity from now on is based on your union with Christ and the righteousness that comes from that union. That my identity, when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. And it is a mystery. And there's a tension there because I know me. And I know that I don't do all the right things. And yet Christ sees me, or God sees me as righteous because of what Christ done. Not my good works, but his perfect work. Not the best that I can do, but his perfect and complete accomplishment. Not all the things that I do for God, but what Christ has done on my behalf. So Christ's righteousness is the thing that covers me. It's imputed righteousness. And when the Apostle Paul is talking about that breastplate of righteousness, I have to start with, I can't achieve it on my own, but I can receive it. I cannot get to God by my practical righteousness, but Jesus, because of what he accomplished, I can be clothed in his righteousness. And then here's what it does for me. It protects me, imputed. And then here's the tension that we experience. It also propels me. So I'm protected by the righteousness of Christ. And because of the righteousness of Christ, I pursue righteousness. You see the tension there. That I pursue righteousness, not so I can show God all of my good works. Not so, hey God, look at how good of a job I did. No, I'm covered in Christ's righteousness and his perfect work and all the things that he did for me. And because of that, man, I wanna pursue what Christ has done for me. Not so that, but because of, Paul says it this way in verse number 10. I've got it like highlight, point, circle. He says this, I want to know Christ. Here's this question. You've got to answer this question. Do you know Christ? I know that you know about him. And I know that you've learned some verses about him. That's not the same thing. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is not saying I can recite facts. The Apostle Paul is not saying I know how to play the part. He's saying I know him. I have a connection with him. I have let him and his righteousness cover me. Because when I'm still just at the point of knowing about him, well, his righteousness doesn't cover me. It's only when I know him, when I'm in relationship with him, that I trust him, that I fall on his mercy, that his righteousness becomes my righteousness. That if you are caught in the place that you're still trying to impress God by your good works, and if you're standing on my practical righteousness, my friends, it's time for you to know Christ. It's time for you to fall on his mercy. It's time for you to let God cover you in the righteousness of Christ, because just like Paul, all of the good things that you can do are garbage. They're worthless. They're not enough. And if you go into the battle with your righteousness, you will fail. And I know you're doing the best that you can. And I know you're really trying. And I know you're trying to kick that habit, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And if we just stop there, it's really discouraging. But thanks be to God, His righteousness is enough, and that I can receive what He has done for me. I want to know Christ, and when I know Christ, here's what happens. I experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. Here's what that means for you, that when I'm covered in the righteousness of Christ, when I let that propel my practical righteousness, I receive the imputed, and then I let that propel my practical. I'm not trying to live my life now on my own strength and my own power and my own self-determination. I'm living out of the power of God. And so when that temptation comes, I'm living out of the power of God. When that accusation comes, I'm living out of the power of God. I know Him, and I know His death, and I know what He's done for me, and I know how He's covered me. And because of that, as I move towards this practical righteousness, I've got the power of God at work in me. And then not only that, because I know Him, I've got His power, but then I'm also, man, I'm willing, if I have to, I'll suffer. Now there's the tension there too. Well, I don't want to suffer. No, I'm not sure about the suffering. No. I know Christ. His righteousness has become my righteousness. His power has become my power. And if following Him now in the practical day in and day out life, if that leads to my suffering, if that leads to me saying no to something I really want to say yes to, or if it leads me from being left out from this other group or whatever that looks like in today's day and age, well, I'm willing to move in that direction. Not so God looks at me and says, wow, what a great job. Amazing. Proud of you. You really did it. Hey, let's answer some of their prayers. Hey, did you put a sticker on their sticker chart? Did you see? No, that's not. It's imputed. I'm righteous because of Jesus. And His righteousness protects me, but it also propels me. I'm going to move forward now knowing I'm loved, I'm righteous, and now I need to live that out. I want to know Him so well that if that moves me towards some suffering, I'm willing to say I'll embrace that too. I've embraced His righteousness. I'm propelled by His strength. And if I have to follow Him into suffering, I can do that. It's worth it. He goes on and he says this, so that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Verse 11 says this, not that I've already obtained. Now here, again, here's that tension. Here's that tension that Paul is wrestling with. He says, I haven't obtained it. So I'm righteous, but I'm not always righteous. I'm covered fully by Christ, and yet when I look inside of me, I see that there are some things that are not Christ-like. You see that tension? He says, I am righteous fully, completely, because of Jesus. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to race towards it. I've just received it. But I still have to, I'm still moving towards becoming more Christ-like. Not that I've already attained this or I'm already perfect. Well, I am perfect because of Jesus, but I'm not perfect in my day in and day out life. Do you see that tension there? But I press on to make it my own. So we don't get in the ditch, and the Apostle Paul addressed this. See, people were looking at this and they were so grateful for the mercy of God. And they said, well, does that mean that because of the mercy of God, that I should just sin all the more so that Christ's righteousness may be glorified? Is it this idea of, well, I can just live however I want because of the righteousness of Christ? And Paul says, no, it's a fatal misunderstanding of the mercy and the righteousness of Christ, that Christ's righteousness, it protects me. I am righteous fully because of Jesus. And with that, not but, and with that, that righteousness moves me to say, I'm not fully Christ-like. I have the righteousness of Christ, but I'm not fully Christ-like. And so I'm going to move in that direction. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still learning to know what does it look like day in and day out life to live out what Jesus has already done on my behalf. I'm growing in this relationship. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has already made me His own. So brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own. My practical righteousness did not get me there, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain. He's talking in these racing verses. He's talking about like if you were in a 100-yard dash and you were just trying to cross that finish line, I'm straining forward. Why? So that God will love me? No. So that I can earn something from God? No. You have righteousness from Christ and I'm straining because I'm not there yet. I want to become more and more formed into the image of the one who has covered me in his righteousness. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying, that I am righteous, but I'm not finished. That Christ's work is finished. That his work on my behalf is full and is complete and is perfect. I sometimes lose my temper. I'm sometimes selfish. I'm sometimes not the person that Christ has called me to be. And so I receive the righteousness and then I pursue Christ's likeness. My standing with God has been solved once and for all. I'm perfectly righteous because of Christ, but my transformation into Christ's likeness, that's ongoing. Because of Christ, I'm fully accepted by God, but there are things inside of me that are not acceptable to God. You see the tension? Fully accepted by God because of Jesus. But then when he sees that selfishness that sometimes rears up his ugly head, when he sees that pride that starts to peak up, well, that's not acceptable to God. And so I pursue Christ's likeness. I want to become more and more like my Savior, Jesus. There's the positional righteousness and practical righteousness. Positional because of what Jesus has done. Practical because now I want to live this out, not so that God loves me, not so that I can earn anything from him, not so that I can have my own self as righteousness and present it to him as an offering, none of that. I want to become more and more like the image of my Savior, Jesus. I cannot improve on what Jesus has accomplished. I can't add anything to it. I can't become more secure because Christ has made me secure, but I press on. I press on. So that's my invitation to you this morning. I want you to know Christ. And when you know Christ, the righteousness of Christ covers you instantly. In that moment, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He made him who had no sin to be sin so that I could be righteous through him. I want to press on, go back to that slide for you, towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here's what Apostle Paul is saying, then we're going to be done. Christ acted first. I'm still going to run hard. Christ did something that I could never do on my own. I'm still going to run hard. So here's what we do with that. Here's what we do that, then we're going to be done. Pursue Christ's likeness because of Christ's kindness. Pursue Christ's likeness. So when you look at your life, there are some things that you should do differently. There just are. Because I am not fully developed into the image of my Savior, Jesus. And so I'm going to pursue Christ's likeness. I'm going to be sensitive to the Spirit and saying, what do you want to change inside of me? What do you want me to do differently? How do you want me to talk? And I've got this relationship and we're falling in love, but we're not married. And so that changes how we are with sex, and it changes how, so I want to pursue Christ likeness, but not so that I can present it to God as an offering and here's my righteousness, aren't I acceptable? No, his kindness has been so generous that when I understand that I'm wearing the righteousness of Christ, my most natural response is not, great, I can do whatever I want. That's a crazy response. When I recognize the righteousness of Christ has been poured out of me, that my thought should not be wonderful. I can just live and do whatever I want. And if anybody points to that and says, that's not right, I just say, no, the righteousness of Christ covered me. No, that's not the Bible. That's not the scripture. It's not the gospel. The gospel is I am fully covered by the righteousness of Christ. And so my natural response to that is I'm going to pursue Christ-likeness. I want to become more like him, not to earn anything, not to achieve anything, not to add anything, but because of course that's what I would do. He did that for me. He suffered and took on the wrath of God for me. Well, of course, I mean, if you want me to do it, obviously, of course I will. Why wouldn't I? I want to become more like you. I'm resting in what Christ has done, and I'm racing to become more and more like Jesus. The breastplate of righteousness. It is not about your performance. It's about Christ's perfection. So tomorrow, when you wake up and you find yourself in that spiritual battle, you need to know that you have the breastplate of righteousness that has been given to you by Christ. And so when the accuser of the brethren points at you and says, how dare you? God could never love you. God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. God could never use you. I can't believe. You can just point to the cross and you can say, no, I'm covered. No, Jesus already accomplished that. You're right, but that's okay because Jesus did all the things that I can't do. And as I recognize that, then I take up practical righteousness. I'm going to live differently. I'm going to aim my life differently because of the righteousness of Christ. From my position in Jesus, I'm going to move forward in God's power to pursue the righteousness that Christ wants me to form and mold my life into. There is that tension. There is that yes and not yet. There is the I'm perfect in Jesus, but there are some things inside of me that aren't perfect. There's that tension and there's that mystery. There's things that we have to wrestle with. But Paul would say, and I don't even have it on the screen, but in verse number 15 and 16, he says this, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, or even if you're confused, I think, on some point, if you're not sure, God, what is he even talking about? I believe, here's what Paul said, verse 15. I believe that God will make it plain to you. And that's my prayer for you. That if God, I don't fully understand that, I can't grasp it. That's my prayer, that God will make it plain to you. The verse number 16, but we must hold on to the progress that we've already made. That I'm becoming more and more and more like Jesus, my Savior. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the righteousness of Christ. Thank you that you lived a life that we could not, that you at every moment, at every turn, at every temptation, you were fully righteous. And because of your righteousness and your death and resurrection on the cross, your righteousness becomes my righteousness. And so Lord, forgive me and forgive us for the times that we've tried to put on self-righteousness, that we've tried to live righteously on our own in an effort to get close to you, in an effort to pursue you, in an effort to bring you an offering of all of our good works. Lord, help us like Paul. I want to know Christ. Lord, I'm praying this morning for the people that are in the room, that are watching online, that they would really wrestle with that question. Do I know Christ? All of us know about you. There's some of us that don't know you. There's some of us that are playing some games. There's some of us that are, you know, we like the things that you give us, but we're not sure if we're really living for you. Lord, we want to know you. And Lord, with that, would you help all of us with our practical righteousness? We live in a world, there's so many temptations. There's so many invitations. There's so many opportunities. There's so many ways that we can get knocked off track. So Lord, I'm praying that because we know you, we would know the power that comes from you. And so when that temptation comes, we would be able to resist the devil. And you promise that when we resist, he will flee. Lord, if this is confusing, if we're unsure of this, like Paul, would you make it plain to us? Would you help us to stand in that gap of, I am righteous because of Christ. I'm perfect because of Christ. But I know there's some things in me that aren't perfect. Help us to pursue you as we rest in you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.